Let's read together Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 38. In the second half of Luke chapter 3, we have our Lord's baptism and genealogy. Let's begin by reading verses 15 through 20. Now, as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, "I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly clean out his threshing floor and gather the wheat into his barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." And with many other exhortations he preached to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this, above all, that he shut John up in prison. Let's begin our study of this portion of Luke chapter 3 with some background notes. In the first half of this chapter, we had the introduction of John the Baptist and his ministry as the forerunner, preparing and paving the way for the coming of the Messiah. As a result of John's ministry, we read in verse 15, that the people were in a state of expectation. They realized that something big was about to happen. No prophet had spoken in Israel for 400 years, and now not only was the Lord speaking again to Israel through a prophet, but the Messiah was being announced. Also contributing to this expectation, at least for some, were the prophecies of Daniel, which actually gave a timetable with the coming of the Messiah in Daniel chapter 9. Any serious student of Scripture at that time would have realized that 69 of the 70 weeks of years in Daniel's vision were coming to an end. The time of the Messiah was at hand. This state of expectation on the part of the people is certainly backed up by the extra-biblical writings found in the Dead Sea Scrolls. The wilderness communities such as Qumran, where the Dead Sea Scrolls were found, definitely expected something eschatological to take place at that time. Now we see at the end of verse 15 that the people were not only expecting the Messiah, but wondering whether John the Baptist could himself be the Messiah. John quickly assured them that he was not the Messiah, but only his humble servant. He was not even fit to take off the Messiah's sandals. John said that he baptized with water, but the Messiah was mightier than he was and would baptize them with the Holy Spirit and fire. The baptism of the Holy Spirit was certainly at Pentecost, and every believer today is brought into that baptized company of believers. But what about the baptism with fire? Is that also a reference to Pentecost and the tongues of fire, or possibly the fiery power and zeal of the committed Christian? No, I don't think so. Most likely, in view of verse 17, which speaks about a future separation of the wheat from the chaff, which will be burned with unquenchable fire, and the fact that John the Baptist was speaking to both believers and unbelievers, as we see in verses 7 through 9, most likely the baptism with fire that John the Baptist is speaking about here is the fire of judgment of unbelievers that will be associated with our Lord's return. In verses 18 through 20, Luke jumps ahead about a year and a half to complete the record of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was imprisoned and later beheaded by Herod Antipas because John had denounced Herod for divorcing his wife in order to marry his brother's wife. And notice that verse 19 says that John the Baptist was imprisoned for denouncing all the wicked things that Herod had done. In verse 21, we return to the time when John the Baptist was still active in ministry. And that brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for this portion of Luke chapter 3. So doctrinal point number one, the baptism of Jesus by John linked Jesus to the godly Jewish remnant. The baptism of Jesus by John linked Jesus to the godly Jewish remnant. Verses 21 and 22. When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while he prayed, the heaven was open, And the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon him. And a voice came from heaven which said, You are my beloved Son, in you I am well pleased. Now the question of why was Jesus baptized by John usually comes up at this point. The Lord Jesus certainly did not need to be baptized, especially not John's baptism of repentance, because Jesus did not need to repent of any sin, because he never sinned. Scripture makes abundantly clear that Jesus never sinned and did not have a sinful nature. 2 Corinthians 5:21, he knew no sin. 1 Peter 2:22, he committed no sin. And 1 John 3, verse 5, in him there is no sin. 1 John 3, 5. And verse 22 here in Luke chapter 3 emphasizes the perfection of Jesus. The Holy Spirit was seen descending upon him as a dove, and the Father's voice was heard from heaven. You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased. Think of it. The Lord had not done any miracles or preached any sermons yet. But looking back over 30 years of our Lord's life, the Father sees perfection. So the Lord did not need to be baptized. The reason the Lord underwent John's baptism of repentance was not only to set the example for the people, but also to identify with a godly remnant of Jews who were rightly separating themselves from the corrupt religious establishment of Judaism. This establishment included the self-righteous scribes and Pharisees. The baptism of Jesus by John linked Jesus to the godly Jewish remnant. Doctrinal point number two. The genealogy of Jesus by Luke linked Jesus to the whole human race. The genealogy of Jesus by Luke linked Jesus to the whole human race. Verses 23 through 38. Now Jesus himself began his ministry at about 30 years of age, being, as was supposed, the son of Joseph, the son of Eli. Now from verse 24 to the end of the chapter, we have a listing of all the names or links in our Lord's lineage back to Adam. Now for the sake of time, we will not read all the names, as well as for the fact that I would not pronounce them properly. But look at verse 38, the last verse of the chapter. The son of Enosh, the son of Seth, the son of Adam, the son of God. Luke traces our Lord's lineage all the way back to Adam, who was created by God as head of the human race. Now, Matthew's genealogy of the Lord goes back through David to Abraham to emphasize that Jesus was the promised Messiah, the King of Israel. But Luke's genealogy goes all the way back to Adam to emphasize that Jesus is linked to the whole human race and is the Savior for all mankind. Notice the end of the quotation from Isaiah chapter 40, back in verse 6. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. The Gospel of Luke emphasizes that Jesus is the Savior for the world, not just for the Jewish people. Now, how do you explain the fact that Luke's genealogy of Christ and Matthew's genealogy of Christ are different? The simplest way is that Matthew traces the Lord's lineage back through Joseph, by which Jesus has the legal right to the throne of David. And Luke traces the Lord's genealogy back through Mary, which was his natural or biological lineage. In this case, Joseph was the son of Eli by marriage, verse 23. Notice how Luke protects the truth of the virgin birth of Christ in verse 23, by emphasizing that Jesus was the supposed son of Joseph, not the biological son of Joseph. Both Matthew and Luke's genealogies go back through David's son Solomon, in the case of Matthew's genealogy, and through David's son Nathan, in the case of Luke's genealogy. So both Mary and Joseph were descendants of David. Again, the fact that Luke's genealogy goes back to Adam emphasizes the fact that Jesus is the Savior for the world. The genealogy of Jesus by Luke linked Jesus to the whole human race. Now, what about practical application from this second half of Luke chapter 3? Don't rush into full-time ministry. Don't rush into full-time ministry. Verse 23 says that it was when Jesus was about 30 years of age that he began his public ministry. This, by the way, was the age when the Levites began their public service, as we learn in Numbers chapter 4. For young people anxious to be called into the ministry and serve the Lord full-time, 30 years of age seems old, doesn't it? Listen, don't rush into full-time ministry. Your desires are good and godly, but the Lord may have a lot of lessons still to teach you. There is the matter of training and testing and proving of your faith that is important to God. So don't feel like you've been shelved or passed over if you're still in your 20s or 30s or even later and doors of full-time ministry haven't opened to you yet. Just be faithful and obedient and serve the Lord right where you are. Don't rush into full-time ministry. Practical application number 2. Remember, the story is not over yet. Remember, the story is not over yet. Look back again at verses 18 through 20 of Luke chapter 3. And with many other exhortations, he, that is John the Baptist, preached to the people. But Herod the Tetrarch, being rebuked by him concerning Herodias, his brother Philip's wife, and for all the evils which Herod had done, also added this, above all, that he shut John up in prison. Luke chapter 3, verses 18 through 20. Now we know from the gospel record that John the Baptist was never released from prison. In fact, he was beheaded by Herod while he was in prison. Matthew chapter 14, verses 3 through 12. It doesn't seem fair, does it? On the one hand, here is John the Baptist standing up for what is right and speaking out against the sins of Herod. And then on the other hand, you have this wicked Herod who divorced his own wife to marry his brother's wife, and then he imprisons John the Baptist because John dared to speak out against Herod's sins. And then as a result of a dance by the daughter of Herodias, Herod murders John the Baptist, and Herod is never brought to justice. It just doesn't seem fair. Why didn't God rescue John the Baptist? What's the answer here anyway? The answer is, remember, the story was not over. John the Baptist is now in the presence of the Lord and will be resurrected to reign with Christ in his kingdom here on this earth and will live forever in heaven with the Lord. Herod is now in a lost eternity and will be consigned to eternal damnation in hell at the great white throne judgment of Revelation chapter 20, yet to take place in the future. The story is not over yet. Maybe something very unfortunate has taken place in your life. You were terribly wronged and taken advantage of by some person or some group of people, and they were never brought to justice. Listen, the story is not over yet. There is a coming judgment when all wrongs will be righted, and justice will prevail. It's only a matter of time before it all comes out in the wash. Remember, the story is not over yet.